Got a packed house today. It's good to see everyone. Glad you're here with us. If it's your first time or you haven't been here in a while, we want to just say welcome. We're glad you're here. If you were here last week or you've been coming out every Sunday, we want to say we're glad you're here. I'm glad to be here. Usually, at least for the past 3 weeks, you've seen me on the screen. And so I'm glad to be here in the flesh to give the word today. Before I get into the message for today, I do want to kind of share a bit more as to what Lee was praying about. So on November 27th, 2016, that will be the last day. It's the last day on our lease, on our contract for this particular space. And so before then, we ain't got to go home, but we got to get out of here. And so we're in the process of searching for a new facility. And we've been praying, our leaders have been praying, and we've been believing that God wants us, he's calling us to move out of Bogwangdong. You know, Bogwangdong, this is a beautiful area. You know, you get really cheap produce, and Juicy's right across the street, you know. But we're called New Philly Itaewon, not New Philly Bogwangdong. And God is calling us to move to the main road. And so we really believe that God has spoken to us in many different ways. But we are in the process of searching for a facility. Now, I want to share that with the entire community because it is something that is not just my burden to bear, but it should be our burden to bear because we all will gather and worship in that place. And so I want to share with you so that we all are praying, that we're concerned, that we're looking, and that we're believing God to give us a new space. You know, I really believe, as Lee prayed, it's totally true. In as much as it's not about the building, you do need a place to gather. And when we are in that place on the main strip, I really believe that God's wanting to use us to be salt and light. We were once located at King Bar, which is right on Hooker Hill. And the prayers we prayed when we first planted this church plant was that God would position us in Itaewon to be sources of encouragement, healing, and hope to women who are caught in prostitution, to be sources of healing and hope and love to those who may be struggling with different lifestyles, to be sources of breakthrough and deliverance to those who just need family and who are struggling with loneliness. And God has done that in a small degree being at this place. But we believe that as God takes us to the main road, he's going to do it exponentially more. You believe that? Say amen. And so we're looking and we're believing God for a Sunday rental space, a place that we're going to just rent out on Sundays. And we're really open, actually. I'm totally cool with us being in a club. You know what I'm saying? We got one person excited about that, ready to go back, you know, ready to go back. It's been a minute. But we're looking for whether it's clubs, bars, theater spaces, whatever it might be. We're really praying into God, open up the connections, open up the space, open it up for us. So I want to ask you to join us in prayer as we pray for this. We're really believing the month of October is going to be crucial for that. All good? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, see, I really believe that this month is going to be crucial and God's going to do a great thing. Now, as we get into the word today, I want to talk to you on the topic running from rest. Running from rest. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to look from verses 38 to 42. Running from rest. You know, today's sermon is actually a very meaningful one for me personally because it's something that God's been speaking to me very clearly over the past 2 weeks. He's been leading me through it. He's been causing me to ask some of the tough questions. And, you know, whatever God does for one, he usually calls to do for all. And so as I'm here today, I really believe that God's going to really challenge a lot of you, but also give you encouragement to move forward. Here at New Philly in the year 2016, each year we have a particular theme. And we haven't talked about that particular theme that much, especially over the past couple months. But the yearly theme for us this year is the year of rest. And we believe that, as Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, I'll give you rest for your souls. And this isn't just something for 2016. It's not like when 2017 comes, we're going to stop resting. But usually when God highlights a year theme for us as a church, he's saying, I want you to really get good at this. I want you to pick this up. I want you to learn how to live in this particular thing so that you can have it for the rest of your life. And rest is really something that's important. It's important for our lives. It's important for each one of us. But we find, even as we find in this passage, that we have a tendency to run from rest. So Luke 10, 38 to 42. I'll read it. And how about you guys just look along with me? It says, now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Come on in. Come on over, Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Everyone say distracted.
Distracted.
She was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him, Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, you may think that's not her tone, but I think that's her tone. You know, you don't care that she's left me here to do all this work? Tell her to help me, Jesus. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. I love how Jesus doesn't even answer what she tells him to do. He just immediately starts addressing issues in her heart. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. You know, this year of rest for me personally in this community has been a very interesting year. Even though I know it's the year of rest, and when we found out that that was going to be the year theme at the end of 2015, whew, that's a long time ago, I was so excited because in 2015, I was exhausted. I was like, I am running on fumes. I'm running on empty. And then Pastor Christian said, I feel like the Lord is speaking that this is going to be the year of rest. And if you would have seen the staff, it looked like it was a touchdown. You ever watched the NFL when someone scores a touchdown, everyone cheers. Some of us were doing dances, you know. Some of us were spiking balls. We were like so elated because we were like, finally, it's happened to me. You know, I'm ready for the year of rest, you know. And then as the year has kept going and we've entered into the year of rest, we've preached sermons on rest. I've preached about rest. But what I found is that as God's been confronting my heart and been speaking to me, he says, Marcus, so often we have a tendency to run from rest. Here in this passage of scripture, we see that Jesus walks into a home and he's welcomed in. And there's two sisters, and you may have heard the story before. And Mary comes in, and when Jesus comes in, he sits down. And Mary immediately just sits at his feet and begins to rest and chill with Jesus. But then Martha, who's the more choleric, probably more goal-oriented, she understands that because Jesus is here, stuff needs to get done. She just starts, I'm trying to be a good sister. So she starts doing all these different things to prepare. But as she's working, she recognizes, she looks, and she sees that Mary ain't doing anything. You ever had that growing up where your parents ask you to do a certain chore, and you look over at your siblings, and you realize they're not doing anything but video games? Am I the only one? See, I got two younger siblings, you know what I'm saying? Rashad and Taylor. I love them to death. They're probably going to hear this right now, but I thought they were so lazy as a kid. Because I'm 6 years older, my mom would always have me do the dishes and me wash the floors and me put away the toys and me do. And I would always be like, Mom, do you not care that I'm doing this all by myself? Tell Rashad to help me, because Rashad would always sit there and play video games. And over time, I had to deal with the bitterness in my heart towards my brother. But I can imagine what Martha's going through. But we see that Martha in this story, she's actually running from rest. And I want to go over three ways that we oftentimes run from rest that we can see in this passage. The first reason why we run from rest, well, two reasons why we run from rest and why we shouldn't. The first reason why we run from rest is because rest reveals. Everyone say rest reveals.
Rest reveals.
Verse 40, it says, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. You know, one of the main reasons we run from rest is because we're afraid of what it might reveal. I don't know if you see it here in this passage, but Martha had an anxiety issue. Martha had an issue with anxiety, and Jesus, he calls it out. He says, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Not just the things that she's doing, but you're anxious and troubled about many things, Martha. And he points out to her that she has an anxiety issue. Yet she's distracting herself by staying busy. She was doing many things that were beneficial, but not many things that were necessary. Jesus walks in and she starts doing all these different things that would, yes, be good. But in the end, they're distracting her from the one thing that she really needs to do, which is rest. And it's because she knew that if she were to stop everything, these heart issues would come to the surface. Do you do that? Oftentimes we use things that are good to distract us from the things that are best. This guy, Peter Scazzaro, who wrote this book, Emotionally Healthy Church, he talks about oftentimes we run from rest in order to prevent ourselves from dealing with actual areas in our life that need to change. Here's what he says. He says, one sign of being an emotionally unhealthy person is, here's what he calls it, using God to run from God. He says, when a person creates a great deal of God activity to ignore difficult areas in their lives that God wants to change, it's using Christian activities as an attempt to escape from potential pain. It's that person who comes to church all the time. They raise their hands. They do all these different things. They do all these other activities. And they're very, very busy. But they never get a chance to stop and deal with some of the heart issues that are really beneath the surface. For most of us, we don't necessarily use God to run from God. But we use everything else to run from God. We keep ourselves really busy. Have you ever thought about how in our culture today, busyness is a badge of honor? In our culture today, we use busyness as like, oh, what are you doing today? What's going on? Oh, man, I'm so busy. Hey, what do you got going on? Can you hang out? I'm busy. Man, I'm so busy. Hey, dude, can you hang out? How's work? Man, I'm busy. How's your job going? Man, it's so busy. You never hear anyone say, man, what's going on with you? Absolutely nothing. What are you doing tomorrow? Nothing. What are you doing the next day? Nothing. You don't ever hear anyone say that, do you? What, man, what's going on? We always got to have stuff going on, don't we? Hey, what's going on? What you got? Oh, man, I'm so busy. You know, our church staff, we recently switched over to this project management software called Basecamp. And in it, you can send out these automatic questions. And so I sent out this automatic question to our staff that says, what are you working on this week? Because I just wanted to know, what are you working on this week, right? I just recently became the interim lead pastor. And so I wanted everyone to have an idea of what everyone's working on. And it was so interesting. It was so interesting because I noticed that when the questions came out, I noticed that oftentimes people who didn't have actually a lot to do would have the most bullet points as for the stuff that they had to do. Even myself, I noticed that when I sat there and it was time for me to write all that I needed to get done, I had a tendency to write more or to take little things like take out the trash, like to make it big, because I wanted to give off this impression that I was busier than I actually was. There was only one person on staff who was bluntly honest. They wrote one bullet point. I was like, you know what? Amen. He's like, that's all I got going on today. You know, because we don't want to appear lazy. We don't want to appear like we don't have anything going on. So we want to appear like we've got a lot going on. Even in social media, you know, Instagram, the one way that you get more followers and more people follow you and like your photos on Instagram is that you have to post more often. You ever notice that? If you want more people to think that your life is worth following, then you need to post more things that are worth following. And then what it does is it creates inside of us this kind of anxious tension that we have to be continuously busy in order for our lives to be of worth. We have trouble just doing nothing. And oftentimes it's because of the fact that we're trying our best to prevent ourselves from dealing with things that we actually need to deal with. Maybe it's not your work, or maybe it's just sitting at a place and constantly looking on your phone whenever there's a dull moment. At Friday Fire, Pastor Scott, she had us do this activity where we were to go out and just talk with people and be fully present with them. And she said, you cannot use your phones. And as I was talking to people, we weren't even supposed to talk to anybody, actually, but a guy talked to me, so we had a conversation. It just happened. But I noticed that once the conversation got awkward, the one thing that I did not do was ask another question or figure out a way to make the conversation flow better. Instead, I pulled out my phone and I started to get busy. Oftentimes when we're at home and we've got nothing to do, we sit on the couch and what do? We cut on a TV show or we scroll on our phones or we figure out a way to numb ourselves to what's going on in our lives because deep inside our hearts, we know that if we stopped everything, we're afraid of what might be revealed when we actually rest. You guys hear what I'm saying today? You know, during the Chuseok weekend, me and my wife, we decided to go to Busan. We decided to go to Busan because we needed to get out of Seoul. Can I be honest? You guys know what I'm talking about. There's some times where you just got to get up out of Seoul. I love Seoul. It's my favorite city in the world. But I needed to get out of Seoul. And so we decided. It helped also that some of our friends were out of town and they let us stay in their place for free and borrow their car. Those are good friends. All our other friends were like, we would never let you borrow our car. I was like, how dare you? But we went, and our goal during that week was that we just wanted to rest. We actually planned a day where we did super rest, where we cut off our phones, we cut off the TV. We did no electronics that whole day. And the interesting thing was that when we did no electronics that whole day, we decided we're not going to do any electronics. And then even when we talk, we're not going to talk about other people. Because we don't want to spend our time being distracted by what's going on in everybody else's life and being distracted by being more concerned with everybody else than we are with each other. And then we realized that it's really awkward. And we sat there and we were like, man, what do we talk about? If there's not an article on social media or it's not what someone else has posted or it's not, what do we talk about? All of a sudden, the rest begin to reveal areas in our relationship that we needed to work on. Not only that, but then our second day that we were there, we stayed with some friends the first 2 days. And one of our friends, she had this bright idea to tell us to go to the hospital and get a checkup. So we were just having a random conversation. And all of a sudden, she was like, hey, I have this doctor friend. You had thyroid issues, right? And I was like, yeah, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. She's like, how about you go to the doctor and get your thyroid checked out? I'm like, okay, all right, sure. We go to the doctor, and then Anna and I get checked out. And what we find out from the doctor, we get blood work done, and we find out our blood results a week later. We find out that we both were diagnosed with chronic stress condition. For my wife, she has a hyperactive thyroid. For me, mine's just shut down. And you know what she was saying to us? She was saying, you need to rest. You need to rest. And at first, when we found out the diagnosis, I'm being really vulnerable. It's all right if I'm going to sit down for a moment. for a moment, when we found out that we had this condition, our first tendency was like, God, why did we even go to the doctor? We were supposed to rest. This is jacked up. We didn't want to go. You know, you ever have that happen? You go to the doctor, they tell you something you don't want to hear. You leave. You're like, can he believe this? Had a tendency to even be angry at our friend. Like, why did she suggest that? Why did we say yes? It ruined our vacation. But then God spoke to me. He said, Marcus, you know what? If you guys would have never decided to rest, you would have never had the conversation that would reveal that you have this issue. And then you'd never be now on a pathway to be healthy. See, oftentimes, many of us, we don't rest until we crash. And we run and we run and we distract ourselves and we distract ourselves. And we're like Martha. We're distracting ourselves with so much serving and so much activity and so much things going on. And we don't realize that we're setting ourselves up to ultimately crash. You know, God cares about your body more than you do. God cares about your lifestyle more than you do. First Corinthians chapter 6 says that we've been bought with a price, that he gave up his body for your body. It says that your life is not your own. Therefore, honor God with your body. Meaning that there are times where God wants you to rest. He wants you to take breaks. He wants you to take a nap. He wants you to take time to just be quiet and be still. Because it's those times where he'll show you that there are deep things that you need to work on. See, oftentimes we don't know that we have issues in our friendships and we have anger issues or relational issues until our friendships fall apart. We don't know that we have financial issues until we have debt that is too big for us to manage. We don't realize that we have issues even in our relationship with God until all of a sudden something hits in our life that causes us to wake up. And God's been saying, I've been trying to get you to take a moment to rest all this time so we could diagnose the problem. But see, if you're always running from rest, you'll never see what God wants to reveal. Are you running from rest? Maybe for some of you, you need to just take a break. Be still. Sit in solitude and silence. You see, the first thing is that rest reveals. The second thing about rest, and another reason why we run from rest, is because rest recognizes. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 46:10, and it says this. It says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And we oftentimes quote this verse when we talk about rest. Be still, be still, just be still, right? But the context of this verse is that God is screaming out, be still, amongst the war that is happening in the earth. The writer of the Psalms is talking about how there's so much warfare going on and there's so much battling and so much fighting. And amidst all the fighting and all the battling and all these different things where man is trying to achieve things on his own, God screams out, be still and know that I am God. See, being still is actually coupled with the next part, and know that I am God. The word know is the Hebrew word yada. Everyone say yada. Yada. Yada means intimate knowledge. It means to intimately acknowledge and recognize something. You know, the word be still there just means to cease everything. It means to be slack. It means to stop. And God says that you oftentimes need to be still because when you are still, you begin to recognize that there is a God over the earth. There is a God who is over everything, and he will be exalted and his purposes will continue despite what you and I do. You know, the interesting thing about Mary and Martha is that Mary is doing all kinds of work, right? And she's doing all these things to serve God. But what we see is that Martha actually doesn't recognize fully who she's in the presence of. Because we see in the Old Testament, in the Bible, whenever an angel or whenever the Lord or whenever God shows up, the proper response to God showing up is never to start working. In the Bible, the proper response whenever God shows up is actually to get on your knees. It's to stop everything. It's actually to rest. It's actually to get on your face and begin to say, somebody bigger than me is in the building. when Joshua, he stands before this angel, and this angel says, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. The first thing Joshua does is he falls to his face. When God shows with on the mountain, he shows smoke and fire, and everyone begins to recognize that God is there. It says all the people of God, they fall on their faces. See, we think oftentimes that working in the presence of God is a sign of us recognizing God. But actually, rest is the foremost sign that there's someone bigger and more powerful than you in control of your life. Sometimes we serve God best, not by running around and doing everything we want. We serve God best by letting him serve us and just by resting. What if you rested from Facebook? Now, we don't normally think about that in terms of our worship, but you know what Facebook is? The reason why we're so addicted to Facebook is in part because we need to know what's going on outside of us. And so we're scrolling, and we want to participate in what's happening all around the world and what's happening in all our friendships. But sometimes it takes some faith, and it takes recognizing that there's a God bigger than your social circles. When you take a break from your social media, you know what you're saying? You're saying, you know what, God? I trust that you'll be able to manage my reputation, manage my friendships, manage the joy in my life apart from being a part of everything else. When you take a break from your job, you know what you're saying? God, I trust that you will be able to give me money despite my ability to always work for it. When you're able to just take a break, even though something's not finished yet, you know what you're saying? God, I trust that you'll be the one who fills in the gaps. You know, this is something that's really hard for me to do, because I have a tendency at times to be a perfectionist. I feel like I have to get everything right before I take a break. And then if I do stop, then I'm spending all my time anxious about the thing that I take a break from. Anybody with me on that? But what that reveals in me is a lack of trust. See, when Mary was able to just sit at his feet and rest and listen, you know what she was showing? She was showing that where she put her primary focus and the primary worth was not on her work. It was on the one who was sitting right in front of her. When's the last time you just sat with God? Oftentimes we blame other people for our anxieties and the reason why we feel like our lives are so chaotic. Maybe what God is looking for you to do is just to sit down and say, God, you know what? I trust you're going to take care of all of that. So I'm going to just rest. See, when we stop our serving with God in order to be served by him, what we're saying is, God, you're stronger. God, your purposes prevail. God, you're sovereign and you're in control over my life, not the other way around. Rest is so powerful because it shows that he's the one in control. And there's a peace that comes when you realize that. You know, as interim lead pastor, the first 3 months have been filled with a lot of anxiety, right? And then when we took that trip to Busan, the day that we did our super rest day, that morning, I just spent time by myself and just listened. I didn't read, I didn't write, I didn't do anything. I just sat there. And all of a sudden, God began to confront something in me. He said, Marcus, you think that you're absolutely necessary to my purposes being done in the earth? And I was like, yeah. But God began to say, Marcus, I don't need you. And you would think that would make me really depressed. Right? You don't need me, God. I thought you needed me. But it actually made me feel quite free. Because then I recognize now that every time I partner with God, I'm not doing it out of obligation. I'm doing it out of a free choice of love. I'm doing it out of a free choice, not out of this feeling that God needs me. But that took me taking a break and taking some rest in order to hear him. See, when you're able to recognize, you're able to take some time and allow God to reveal certain things and allow your worship to come out of that place of rest, what begins to happen is you begin to experience the rewards of rest. And that's the third thing. Verse 41 to 42, it says, "The Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary.'" And here's what he says. He says, "Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." You know, I believe that good portion for Mary was the revelation and insight that she received from Jesus just sitting at his feet. I believe that good portion was the confidence of seeing him look at her and speak directly to her. I believe that good portion that she had was that she walked away feeling that much more confident, that much more at peace, that much more at joy, because she had sat there and spent quality time with the Lord. And for each one of us, when you begin to take time to rest, what begins to happen is that you become more healthy. You become, in many ways, a better person. Far more patient, far more loving, far more kind. But not only that, but you oftentimes have that much more direction and insight. You can't have clarity about your future if you're constantly running in a certain direction. Because what if you need to change directions? What if you need to go a different route? What if God is calling you to go back? See, it's only in the place of rest that we can have that. And I believe that Mary walked away with that better portion because she was able to just stop and rest. There's nothing like the peace and the clarity and the renewed direction that comes when you take a break. So I'm going to close my message today with a few practical tips about rest. This is probably the most even-keeled I've ever preached. You're probably used to me going back and forth, running and shouting and doing flips and jumping jacks. But it's not me that does it. It's God's word. It's his revelation. It's also you receiving that word. And so I want to give you some practical tips on rest. And a lot of these come straight from my doctor. Number one, go to bed early. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You know, statistics say that if you when you sleep in, that is bad sleep. Whenever you wake up at 10, 11, 12, you wake up like a zombie and you feel like a zombie, right? You feel half dead. It's because if you're going to sleep in, you should go to bed earlier, not wake up later. And what happens is your body actually recalibrates when you sleep. The thoughts and the processes and actually many of the things that you've been trying to work through when you're awake, you can't work through until you're asleep. The Bible says that God, he instructs our heart in the night hour. Meaning that God himself begins to speak to your heart when you're asleep. Meaning that God begins to take things that are in your heart that you've been wrestling through when you're awake. And when you're asleep, he begins to actually work it out for you. He instructs our heart in the night hour. See, if you think you got to be awake to work everything out, you think it depends on you. Go to bed early. I'm saying this as a pastor who cares about you. Because the quality of our love for people, ultimately, it depends on whether or not we are also taking care of ourselves. We may move to the main road and just be a church full of unbelievably tired people. And Jesus is not glorified in that. Two, take naps. Real practical today, guys. Take naps. Naps is not just for kindergarten. It's not just for the kids at your Hagwon. You know what? When they take a nap, you should just don't get fired, all right? Don't get fired. I was going to say, you should just take a nap too. But you should take naps. You're not a machine. You're not your cell phone. Heck, even your cell phone needs to get recharged. And if you got the iPhone I have, it needs to get recharged often. You got to take naps. A study at NASA showed that a 40-minute nap increases performance by 34% and alertness by 100%. Take a nap. Maybe your performance in your job or in your relationships has less to do with your actual aptitude and more to do with your energy. You're just tired. When you're tired, you can't think straight. You can't be sharp. Number three, be okay with not finishing everything. We think that every project and everything we do and everything we start, it all depends on us. But the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus, he is the author and perfecter. That means that he starts it and he finishes it. Philippians says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That means that it's not always dependent on you. Resting is a sign you trust God to fill in the gaps. And so sometimes if you don't have everything done, you still got it. You got to entrust it to the Lord and just be done. Rest. And then this one is a big one. We have to start getting okay with being alone and being silent. I think our introverts in the house, they're probably real good at that. Alone time. Finally, somebody said it. Tired of everyone telling me not to be alone. I need alone time. There's a difference between solitude and isolation. There's a difference. Isolation, you're running from something. We see Elijah, he's running from Jezebel. He's isolated in a cave. He's running from something. That's isolation. It says that a person who isolates himself seeks his own desire and runs against all sound judgment, meaning that if you are running away and you're isolating yourself, you are a danger to yourself and other people. But solitude is running to something. It's running to a sacred space where you can be silent and you can hear and you can be connected with God and you can allow him to work through areas in your life. That means putting away the phone. It means cutting off the music. For most of us, our quiet times are not quiet because we cut on music. It's because we're afraid of what might fill that area. Get alone sometimes. Jesus oftentimes would just get away from people. He would perform a miracle, boom, miracle, and then they'd be like, yay, Jesus. Where did Jesus go? And he would literally leave in an instant. He would get away because he recognized that he needed to have that kind of time. And each one of us, we actually, whether you believe it or not, we need that time. We need solitude. And we need silence. When's the last time you just sat somewhere and just listened? If you can get good with solitude and silence, what it crafts in you is a profound ability to listen to God. Because in the place of silence and solitude, that's not where the enemy comes. That's where Jesus comes. That's where God begins to meet you. That's where he begins to lead you. That's where he leads you beside still waters and he begins to restore your soul. So get some more sleep. Be okay with not finishing everything. And learn how to be quiet and sometimes be alone. Not to run from those things, but to allow God to bring you to that place. So what we're going to do actually is we're going to just take a moment and we're going to practice. And I'm going to ask everyone, you know, whether you, if you have your phones out or whatever, just to put them away for a moment. You know, when I talk to my friends who have children, they long for silence and solitude. because they understand that that's actually a sacred space. It's a space where you can actually hear and begin to rest and receive. One reason why we have trouble giving is because we have so much trouble receiving. So much trouble being served by God. That's why we have so much trouble serving Him. And so today, like I said, it's a different message. It's different than the real life series. It's different than how I would normally preach on a Sunday. But I wanted to take a moment and to just be still. And if stuff starts to come up or God starts to speak to you about different things or if you start getting distracted, you start thinking about what you're going to eat later, you know, push that thought out, okay? You can think about that later. But right now, what I want to ask you to do is simply to just wait, listen, and ask God, God, speak to me. What are some things that you want to speak to me about right now?